Amen. Gosh, thank you all. That was so powerful tonight. Man, the Lord's good, isn't He? How many of you know God's doing something tonight? Yeah, I've just been overwhelmed just probably the past couple weeks and things that God is doing and things that people are going through. More than anything, what I've come to realize is that my life must be a passionate pursuit for the glory of God. I mean, because if somebody told me that the only thing that will matter at the end of this life is how much fried chicken I ate, and I already eat a lot, I would eat more. I would go to Ryan's and not need a table. I would just need a chair and sit at the buffet and eat. Now listen, but our lives in reality are supposed to be a passionate pursuit for the glory of God. And think of what He's done. Think of what He's done for us. Think of the blessings. Think of the trials that He has gotten us through. Think about this. Here's the most overwhelming thought. Think about what we deserve. Because before I knew God, I didn't care about God. I didn't care what God wanted. I was only interested in me and interested in what I wanted. And so when tough times came, I couldn't stick in there because it was about me. I want to apologize to the scripture people. We're going to do something different tonight. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is writing to these believers in Rome. And it was a crazy time. And if you went to Rome, you could worship any god that you wanted. And if you went to Rome, you could pursue every passion that you had. Now, I went to a Christian college, Campbellsville University. Okay, all right, and nobody else did. And I'm at Campbellsville, and every year I got to do the talk to the parents of incoming freshmen because they were dropping their children off at a fine Christian institution. And so after about my second year, I just in speaking with the dean about some things, they had invited me to speak to all these parents. And I think I shocked everybody, including the dean, when I got up and told the parents, I said, whatever your kids want, we've got it here at Campbellsville. If they want Bible study, we got it. If they want exciting worship, we got it. If they want Christian instructors, we got it. If they want drugs, we got it. If they want sex, we've got it. If they want alcohol, we've got it. And of course, the parents are going. And I'm going to tell you, it's the same way with life on the planet. Whatever you want, it's here. It is here, and I don't know if you've noticed, but since I've come to know Jesus as my personal Savior, I still struggle in the pursuits of my life. But one thing has been overwhelming, and that is that I am in an incredible debt to God, and I'll never be able to repay Him ever for what He's done. Because here's the deal. It doesn't matter how much chicken you've eaten at the end of this life. Here's what matters is how you lived your life for the glory of God. And Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says this, and we know that in all things, did you hear that? We know in all things, in everything. And so you can name every great thing in your life. It's here. All things. And you can tell me every struggle, every trial, every crisis of your life. It's all here. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. One thing I want us to be aware of tonight, because we always talk about the cross of Christ, but I want you to know, in reality, Jesus didn't have a cross. Some of you are giving me weird looks right now. Give me a minute. Because the only ones who needed crosses were those who had sin. And so I had a cross. You had a cross. Jesus didn't have a cross. You see, He was without sin. So Jesus didn't go to His cross. Jesus went to mine. And Jesus went to yours. And all the stupid stuff of my life, all the junk of my life, this incredible cross that I built, that I created, Jesus died upon it, thereby paying the price for every sin I had ever committed. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And if you are a believer here tonight, you've been called according to the purposes of God. He loves you. He died for you. He was on your cross and your sin is forgiven. And so my life should be summarized as being a passionate pursuit of the glory of God, because at the end of my life, most of all my life won't matter. What will matter is what Jesus did in my life. That I am forgiven. And listen, you guys know this. The journey has taken some turns that I didn't expect. It's taken some turns I didn't want. Has your journey ever went away that you didn't want? 7 of you. The rest of you need to get out more often. Because the journey goes places I don't want it to go. But the Bible says, don't worry about those unexpected turns. The Bible says, don't worry about those speed bumps. The Bible says, don't worry about those hurdles. You know why? Because in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. I spoke with a young man this week, and this guy called me on the phone. I'm trying to look to see if he's here, because I don't want to tell the story if he's here, because he could eat me. This guy, he called me at the house, and I just kind of imagined he was kind of a little squirrely guy, you know. And God was doing a great work in his life, and he called. It was late. I was trying to get my wife to clean the house and put the kids to bed while I watch TV. So he called, and I just said, hey, can I meet with you tomorrow? So this guy comes in. He's about 6'3", what do you say, Jeff, 300 pounds? I mean, he stood next to Jeff, and Jeff looked like a sixth grader. This guy was gigantic. And he was just telling me his story. And he was saying, my mom and dad never wanted anything to do with me. And so my grandmother raised me, and he's sharing his story, what's going on. And he kind of came back to the fact that he didn't have a father. And I said, you know, I just need to correct you. You did have a father. You had the greatest father any of us could have. In God. And even as he shared his story, you can't help when people share their struggles and their pain. You can't help. It's human nature for us to begin to think about ours. But in the same way, my encouragement to him was the encouragement to me, that he's always had a father. He's had a greater father than an earthly father, because he had a father who works for the good in all things. In all things. Church, listen to me. I want us to embrace this tonight. That this God, He is worthy of our lives. He is worthy. If the toughest thing I have to do on a day is to hold my tongue, what is that compared to the cross? And if sometimes the toughest thing I've got to do is be kind, what is that to the cross? Paul tells the church, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love God, who've been called according to His purpose. Listen, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. And so if I'm obedient, I'm submissive to God, and I listen to Him, and I try to pattern my life after Him, do you know what happens at the end of my life? I look more like Jesus than I did. Because when I started off, I didn't look like Jesus at all. But God didn't make that a prerequisite. God didn't say, if you'll look a little bit like Jesus, then I'll save you. You know why? Because I couldn't. There was no good in me. Now I really want you to hear this, because that's a churchy thing to say. There was no good in me. And here at church, we can kind of hear that. But if I said that on Oprah, I'd be in trouble. If I said that on Dr. Phil, I'd be in trouble. And everybody would argue, oh, there's good in everybody. But the Bible says there's not. And I'll tell you why I'm tempted to believe the Bible. Because I've seen me. I know who I am when nobody else is around. And I know what I do when nobody else is around. There is no good in me. And the only good that can be found in me now is because of what Jesus has done. But listen, that's not something to be discouraged about. That's an incredible encouragement to you. Because not only is there good in me now, I'm even getting better. Because of Him. Because of the cross. I'm getting better. I am not what I used to be. Are you what you used to be? That doesn't mean that there aren't inklings of what used to be there, because I struggle. I'm still in the journey. But I am not what I used to be because of Jesus. And there's nothing I've had to face in this life that I couldn't get through because of Him. Why? Because in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose, and those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to what? To the likeness of the Son. Now, I don't know how we make this a real happy, positive message tonight, because if the message of the Bible is to be like Jesus, then unmistakably the message of the Bible is that you and I have to lay our lives down. And unmistakably, the message of the Bible is that if I'm going to be like Jesus, I can't be all hung up on me. Because the Bible says my life is not my own anymore. It's been bought with a price. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I'm His. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are His. And at the end of my life won't be measured by all these earthly things, but it'll be measured by what Christ has done. Now listen to me. Here's what that means. If your life is going to be measured by what Christ has done, then guess what? Your life's already been measured. Because Jesus has done what He's going to do. He's already done that. One of the most common phone calls I get, maybe Pastor Jeff, is we get calls from people. It's usually on a Monday. And we get calls from people who had a pretty wild weekend. And they say, I got to get saved again. I said, but you can't get saved again. They said, but yeah, but there's no way Jesus was there when all that was going on. Well, yes, He was. He's not pleased. He's not pleased, but He's there. He is there. And guess what? There's forgiveness. There's grace. There's mercy. But then I got to follow with this. And there's still expectation. Why do people call on Monday? Because they're miserable. Why are they miserable? Because the Holy Spirit is doing His job. You ought to be miserable. Everybody hear that? Some of you are sitting here tonight feeling miserable about some things. You ought to. And when I'm feeling miserable, I don't need anybody comforting me saying, oh, you shouldn't feel miserable. I'm like, well, did you see what I did? And they're like, yeah, maybe you should. But there's grace and there is mercy. I want to tell you, God is working in your life. He is pursuing you. God is pursuing you with a passion. How do I know that? Because if God wasn't pursuing you, you would never find God. You would never. Why? Well, here's one reason. Because you'd never look for Him. The Bible says no one seeks after God. No one. Now, I'm going to be gone in a couple weeks. So I'm going to encourage Pastor Jeff to preach a message that he did as a devotion yesterday morning. It was powerful. It was phenomenal. All along these lines. The Bible says nobody seeks after God. Nobody. And somebody will take issue with that and say, yeah, but there's a lot of people out there and they're talking about God and how to find God. They're not going to find Him. God cannot be found. He finds us. He finds us. Now, look, can I tell you what's awesome about that? Because at one point, every person in this room, we were just all about pursuing the passions of our life. And God came to us. He came to us, and it's then that we realized our need for Jesus in our life. God was the one that made us aware that we needed Him. Now, why is that good news? Why is that good news tonight? Raise your hand if He found you. You see, He is so good. He is so good. Listen to what He goes on to say. He says that you be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Do you know what this tells me? That God never gives up. He's always doing this work in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I need that work to be done in my life, because I have found over and over and over that I can't do it. And so my life must be a passionate pursuit for God. And somebody may stop there and say, Pastor Jamie, you just contradicted yourself. You said that we can't pursue God. I said, you can't pursue God if you don't know Him. But then, once you know Him, your life becomes a pursuit for the glory of God. Not that you capture God. Not that you grip God, because you can't do that. But I pursue Him because I want to be like His Son. And I pursue Him as He continues to do that work in my life. And I pursue Him. And our lives, I'm going to say it a couple more times tonight, our lives should be a passionate pursuit for the glory of God. He goes on to tell the church, what then shall we say in response to this? I mean, this is good news, church. Did you hear it? This is good news. And then Paul says, so I've told you all this. So what do we say in response to this? I mean, what can you conclude from this? Oh, they've already got it up there. So you already know. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, this troubles me. Some of you have no emotion to this. Some of you are saying, praise the Lord, that's awesome. And that troubles me a little bit. Because when I first read that, you know what my thought was? Lord, there's a whole bunch of stuff against me. What do you mean, who can be against me? There's a bunch going on, God. There's a bunch against me. But this word that's being used doesn't just mean, can somebody come up against you? It's, can they defeat you? And the answer unequivocally is no. No, if God is for us, who can overcome you? Nobody. No thing. Nothing. Now this is so important that we really, really embrace this truth tonight. Because if you're not already going through something, you're going to be going through something. Because I found this journey is just an endless going through something and going through something. I thank God for the mountaintop, but I don't know if you've ever noticed the mountaintop, but like it's the smallest part of the mountain. And by definition, once I've been to the mountaintop, there's only one place to go. Back down. And then I go to the valley, and as Pastor Steve reminded us Sunday, we have a God who says, who we can say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. You are with me. This is a great, great statement. What will we say in response to this? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Now listen to what he says. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He's telling the church at Rome, he's like, listen, let me tell you about this God. He wouldn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. I mean, do you realize how powerful that is? And then he says, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? I mean, if he went to the cross, which I think is correct to say that the cross is probably the penultimate moment in history, with the ultimate moment being the resurrection. Because when you die, you're dead. So the miracle of the cross is that Jesus would lay down his life for us. But the miracle of the Son of God, this Christ, is that God raised him from the dead. Wow. Wow. God did this. He didn't even spare his son. Why? So that our sin could be forgiven. And so his son took on our cross so that you and I could glorify God by being saved. That the message, all this is an introduction to the message. And the message will be very short, but this introduction is necessary. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So what are all... How many of you have all things? I'm really wanting a plasma TV. And I don't have it. According to my wife, I'll have it when holograms are the new deal. When everybody gets their hologram machine and the shows are actually there, right? She said, that's when I'll get a plasma TV. So obviously, the Bible's not talking about that kind of stuff. Here's what it's talking about. All things spiritual. For everything I have to face, for everything I have to go through, I have all things to get through that. To grow more and more into the likeness of the Son, I have all things to do that. Why? Because I have the Son. You have the Son if you are a follower of Jesus. And then he says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also, now this is awesome, who is also interceding for us. I want you to think about that picture. Jesus, who died, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What does that mean? We have to read on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, this is a question. Paul's writing this letter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? At that point in the letter, surely you stop, you look around at those who are being read to, and you say, hey, well, I mean, really, who is it? I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of afraid. Who is it that shall separate us from the love of God? It's a question. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So that, you know what that means? There's going to be a whole lot of stuff that's going on. It is going to get heavy at times. It's going to seem like moments when there is too much to bear. It's going to be there. And this is all coming off the question, who shall separate us from the love of God? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced. Now, if you got a letter from the Apostle Paul, and he made the statement, I am convinced, whatever followed that, you would have incredible confidence in what's being written. And Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing! Nothing will separate us. I don't have to fear all those things. I don't have to worry about all those things because nothing will separate me from the love of God. And it's not because I'm so strong and I'm hanging on, but it's because He's so great. He is so great. And you can trust Him. You can take God at His word. So in all these things, you know what He said? We're more than conquerors. How are you more than a conqueror? Because we're partakers in the great things that God has. We share in His glory. And we will be justified, we'll be redeemed, we'll be glorified. All of these things, God is doing this work in each of our lives. Is your life a passionate pursuit of the glory of God? I mean, what would you say the passion of your life is? What is it? And less important than what you, or more important than what you think it is, what would the people around you say the passion of your life is? Oh, church, listen, there was a cross and a resurrection. And there's a heaven, and that's good news all over the earth. But I've got to tell you, there's a hell. And hell is a real place. I don't think it's just symbolic of you're going to have tough times. We don't have a clue what tough times are compared to hell. And in our passionate pursuit of the glory of God, I passionately believe that there's a heaven. And I believe the only way that you will get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the only one that didn't have a cross. And yet, went to the cross, went to my cross, went to your cross, so that our sin could be forgiven. So whether you like it or not, whether society likes it or not, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I don't understand why that's so incredibly offensive to people. I would think it's offensive if Jesus said He's the only way to heaven and nobody's going. Well, then that would be frustrating. But this Jesus who died on the cross, who rose again, has made salvation possible. Everybody look at me just for a second. You know what that means? That means it's possible for my neighbor. That means it's possible for my family member. And that means it's possible for that person on the other side of the globe, that it's possible that this incredible atoning work that Jesus has done on the cross, it's all that's necessary. And it is sufficient for our sin being forgiven and for us being in heaven forever with God. And we love to focus on that. But I've got to tell you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you haven't trusted Christ, then there is no hope. There is no other way. And I want you to hear that. And some of you may be saying, hey man, you know, most of us here, we're believers and we know this. So what's the deal? I don't know that we really know this. And how would I reach that conclusion? I'm not going to do this, but I'd love just to say, raise your hand if you shared the gospel with somebody in the last week. Because if you believe this, it's going to make a difference in how we relate to the people we're around every day, knowing this, that our work and all the stuff of our career, none of that's going to matter. God could care less when I get to heaven and say, hey God, I was a pastor at a big church. That's not going to matter. What's going to matter is that I was faithful with the treasure that I had been given and the responsibility I've been given to share that with other people. You see, I really believe this. I believe there's a cross, and I believe there was a resurrection, and I believe there's a heaven, and I believe there's a hell, and I believe if you don't know Jesus, there is no hope for you. And you know this if you've come to Hillview for any amount of time. We passionately believe this. And it's so important that that we don't just unlock the doors on Sundays and Wednesday nights. We believe that this is so important, and we believe that this is God's truth revealed to us, that we don't just sit in here and wait for people to come, but we go to them. And it's our responsibility, and it's our job. How do you passionately pursue the glory of God? It's by sharing what Jesus has done in your life. It's by being obedient to the things that He's commanded us. It's by loving people. It's by having compassion for people. Saturday, we're going to have the single mom's oil change. And I always remind the workers, the people that come to volunteer, it's not about oil. It's not about the food. It's not about taking care of the cars. It's not about just babysitting the children. It's that somebody would come who doesn't know Jesus, and that morning somebody would love them and put their arms around them and share the truth of God's Word with them. And God would do this miraculous thing by coming into their life and saving them. That's why we do it. But I don't want to stop at the oil change. You see, my dad taught me, my dad wasn't a pastor of a church or anything like that, but my dad taught me that he was a full-time missionary. And God had called him to the factory of General Motors in Norwood, Ohio. And the only reason he was there was to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he was there. So don't stop at the oil change. If my life is a passionate pursuit of the glory of God, then that envelops every part of my life. Every part of my life. Every part of it. You see, there's been days when I go home and I'm not happy, or I'm disappointed, or maybe I don't feel like I used to feel. You know what? It doesn't matter. Why? Because my life is a passionate pursuit of the glory of God. And guess what I know about my marriage? It'll get better. Guess what else I know about it? It'll get worse. But guess what? It'll get better. Guess what? It'll get worse. But I listen to God. I follow Him. And I trust Him. Is your life a passionate pursuit of the glory of God? You know, tonight for the altar, Keith, you guys can come. Like, what I want to say for this altar tonight is that I think we need to have thankful and grateful hearts, but I'm afraid some tonight might misinterpret that to mean come to the altar and say, oh, thank you, God, but that's not what a thankful and grateful heart is. A thankful and grateful heart is a heart that would obey what God is telling you to do. That's a thankful and grateful heart. So I think the altar tonight, it begins with repentance. God, my life could not be summed up as a passionate pursuit of your glory. But tonight, God, I want all that to change in my life. I know you're there. I know I've been forgiven. I know you've given me the treasure. And God, help me to share it with others. Number one core value at Hillview Heights Church. I tell Pastor Steve all the time, I hadn't been here long. And I said, I haven't met anybody who can tell me all 10 of our core values. Not one person. Not one person could tell me all 10 of our core values. Raise your hand if you think you can name them. All 10 of them. I'm not going to call on you. Raise your hand if you think you know the first one. Raise them real high. I just want to see. I told Pastor Steve that I was yet to meet, maybe I haven't been asking here, that I was yet to meet somebody who didn't know the first core value, which is to connect people to Jesus. Look, now you're all like, yeah, I knew that. I knew. I didn't raise my hand. That's what our lives are to be about. You have something so precious that's been given to you, but God didn't give it to you for you to selfishly hoard it and keep it to yourself. God gave it to you so that you would give it away. And that's what our lives have to be about. And so tonight I think the altar begins with repentance. God, you know what? I haven't seen myself as a missionary to the place that I work. I haven't seen myself as a missionary to the people that I work with. Maybe in some of your cases it's the people that you live with. The people that are in your family. But we have the most precious thing. Listen, church, look at me. We hold the only hope for the world in having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God wants us to give that away passionately. And for a lot of us tonight, that means our attitudes have to change. Because if you're always walking around grumbling and complaining and whining about stuff, people don't want anything to do with that. So guess what? Quit whining. Has whining ever changed the world? No! Has it ever changed your situation? Maybe if you're 3. But that's it. And so what do? I say this, listen to me. I say this. Whether I'm at the funeral, or I'm at the hospital, or I'm at the nursing home, or I'm at hospice, or I'm somewhere that I don't want to be, I remember, I hear those words the Apostle Paul said, In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. In all things, and that means anything you're going through, in all things, He works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. I don't want to leave you guys out. In all things. And so tonight, we begin with repentance. God, I haven't seen myself that way. God, I haven't listened to you. God, I've been more worried about me than your glory. And the Bible says God will not share His glory with another. And so I want to passionately pursue the glory of God. And then most important, listen to me tonight. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, please hear this from a loving heart. But you have no hope of heaven. None. You have no hope. You'll never get there on your own. You can't do it. The only hope is through Jesus. And inviting Him to come into your life, asking Him to forgive you of your sin, repenting, turning from that life. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you need to do that, I've already told you, then that's God telling you that. That's God telling you that. Some of you are putting off being baptized. You get baptized after you become a Christian. And if you haven't done that, you need to do that. It's obedience. So this altar is open tonight. May we be a people passionate for the glory of God. May we be a people who in that passion have a compassion for those around us. May we be a people who will live our lives the way that God is calling us to. This is good news. This is good news because Jesus didn't have a cross. But He took yours and He took mine. And I'm so thankful. And I am so thankful for that. And I am so grateful for what God has done. And the only response to that is, Lord, here's my life. Here's my life. Father, we love you. I thank you, Jesus, that even though you didn't have a cross because you had no sin, you took our cross. And you bore our sin upon yourself so that we could be forgiven. And God, I thank you that I am no longer running passionately towards hell, but because of you, Lord Jesus, I know that I'll have eternity in heaven with you. And God, may I never forget, may I never forget to share that with others. So Lord, here tonight, would you be glorified with repentant hearts? Would you be glorified with obedient followers? Would you be glorified, God, by people coming and laying their lives down and being saved tonight? We love you, Jesus. This altar is open. Let's stand. You come.